you to join me in the book of Ruth, chapter 3. In chapters 1 and 2, we took a very slow and detailed look, though not complete, because quite honestly, we could have spent much, much, much more time there. But we did take a slow and detailed look at the events in history, this picture of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have looked at how God is providential in all that is, even the moving of time and space and conditions to accomplish His purpose. Isn't that wonderful? I am so amazed every time I read in Scripture about how our Lord moves an entire nation of people for the sake of one of His elect. And the reason that amazes me so much is because isn't that what He has done for each and every one of us? Think about that. This entire nation, the fact that men died to fight for the freedom of this nation is because God purposed it to happen.
That's right.
Because God has some chosen people right here in this nation that He chose to save before the world was.
Amen.
That amazes me.
Me too.
That amazes me that I'm one of those people that He did that for. We have looked at the condition that we are born into, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have seen the love of God for His people by plainly seeing His hands throughout all that has happened in this event that we have read about in Ruth. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Is this not the good news? Christ came to save sinners. In Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. No ifs, no buts. He shall save His people. Is this not the story, the same message that we desire our loved ones to hear?
Amen. Exactly.
Just as Pastor Gene was mentioning a moment ago, our desire, my desire this morning, is that what God has opened up in these scriptures, that I might share that with those that He has brought here to hear it this day. My desire is that you hear about Christ. That you hear about His work and what He has done for you. That wonderful, great, that's not even a word that describes it right. Magnificent. I don't know if we have a word that can describe it right on how much our Lord has done for us. We don't even understand. It's another one of those things that makes your mind want to just pop on how God became a man. And He did that for us. For us. For you. This is the story. This is the news that Naomi has come. This is the news that she wants her loved one to hear. Naomi has come to love this woman Ruth as her own. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter. Oh, she has taken this woman and loved her. My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? John Gill wrote this in his commentary about that. He says, that is in the house of a husband. This is Naomi's wish here. As in Her meaning is to seek out for an husband for her, that she might have a house of her own to rest in, and a husband to provide for her, that so she might be free from such toil and labor that she had been lately exercised in. Remember, Ruth was out following around, picking up what was left over. She was in the beggar's clothes, you might say. Broke. Following around behind the reapers, picking up what little was left for her and her mother-in-law to eat. But oh, for the grace of God, that Boaz left more than she needed. That so she might be free from such toil and labor she might have been lately exercised in, and enjoy much ease and comfort and all outward happiness and prosperity in a marriage state with a good husband. This interrogation carries in it the force of a strong affirmation that may suggest that she judged it to be her duty, speaking of Naomi, and that she was determined to seek out such a rest for her. In some translations, the language is yet even stronger. It says, by an oath, I will not rest until the time that I have sought rest for thee. Naomi loved her daughter-in-law, Ruth, so much so that she wanted her to be at peace. And that's exactly what we want for our loved ones. You spoke of your visit yesterday with your family. I understand completely, Pastor. My daughter and my son, they want nothing to do with the Lord. And that does break my heart. I pray for all the things of this world that would be blessings to them. But I always try to leave off with that prayer, but Lord, all that's worthless.
That's right.
Bring them to you. I want peace for my children, the peace that I have. Sometimes it doesn't seem very peaceful. Sometimes I go through the trials of weakness of the heart. And it kind of seems like turmoil. But the Lord always brings me back around to the peace that, John, it's not you. And it's not what you're going through. It's what my Lord has gone through for me. By an oath, I will not rest until the time that I have sought a rest for thee. Is this not the rest that we would want for our own loved ones? Verse 2. And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, says Naomi, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley to the night in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. And put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall lay down, eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. We tell our loved ones, God has redeemed his people. We tell our loved ones, call upon the name of the Lord. But how are you going to call on whom you do not know? Come to where he is. Go to where he is spoken of.
Amen.
Where two or more are gathered in his name, there shall he be in their midst.
Amen. Amen.
Naomi is instructing just that very thing. Now, there may be a lot more that you could stop and spend time on in those verses. But the number one point, Naomi is instructing Ruth, go to where the Lord is. The house of God. The threshing floor. The church. The place where wheat and chaff were separated by the preaching of the true gospel. This is where you will find the bridegroom. This is where you will find rest, where God's word is preached. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 5. And she said unto her, Ruth did, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Now I want you to hold your place here for just a moment and turn over to Psalms 9, please. I was so blessed when I read this. I want you to see it for yourselves rather than read it. Be as the Bereans. Look at it yourself. May God's word speak to you. Psalms chapter 9. Verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And here's what I want you to see. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Seek ye the Lord in his word, and he shall be found.
Amen.
Go to the house of God where God is preached in truth and in spirit, and you shall find. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings, great things he hath done. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. We can come to the Lord for mercy. We can come with confidence that he who has the power and the authority to be merciful will be merciful unto whom he will.
That's true.
Back in our text, verse 10. And he said, speaking of Boaz, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness unto the latter end than the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether be poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. Our Lord says that to each and every one of us. Fear not. Fear not, for I am with thee. You know, he said to Paul, when Paul told him, Lord, I have a thorn in me, a thorn that's paining my soul. My Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until morning. And now we see the personal promise. Robert Hawker wrote this about that scripture. The generosity and greatness of mind in Boaz to condescend to the situation of this poor creature is not more to be admired in history than the obedience also which he thereby manifested to the law of God.
Yes, sir.
Remember how we looked at the law of God earlier? The law of God is that a near kinsman redeemer could come and redeem those who had sold themselves into bondage. God put that law there for a reason, just as he puts all of his laws there for a reason.
Right.
For our good.
Amen.
His law is good. Boaz knew that the law of God had made provision for such cases, and as such, he took no shelter under the disparity of circumstances, but he declared himself ready to do the kinsman part. If him that was near of kin and therefore had a prior claim refused to do it. And though no doubt the first and principal motive which operated upon the mind of Boaz is this concern that obedience to the divine law. End of quote. Our great Lord and Savior knew what was before him. He knew his role in our salvation and he was willing to fulfill it completely. The law of God was fulfilled. It cannot be fulfilled by any of us, but it was fulfilled by our perfect substitution.
Yes.
It was fulfilled perfectly for us. And that which we could not do ourselves, our substitute did for us. We, whose names are written in the book of life before the world were formed, we have a kinsman redeemer. A perfect redeemer. Perfect in all that he does. Everything he does satisfies and pleases the Father. We call him Jesus, the Son of the living God, the God-man, God in the flesh, and we look to him for all that we need because he has promised it. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, he says to each and every one of his people. And that's a promise that you can take forever. Not just tomorrow, not just 5 years from now, forever. What did Psalms 9:10 say? And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Oh, as you say, Pastor, our duty is to sing the praises to the Lord, he who dwelleth in Zion. Let us declare among the people his doings. Yeah, I wrote that down in my notes before you had your devotional. Tell me the Lord doesn't work things out according to his will there. In our text, verse 14. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she arose up before one could know another. And he said, Boaz said unto her, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she, Naomi, said, Ruth said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then she, Naomi, said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Now tell me that's not a picture of our Lord. Yes, he sits on his throne, and that's a picture of him resting. But he's still working. He's still calling out his chosen people. There's still hope for our loved ones. He didn't call me out until I was 40. He didn't call the thief out until an hour or two before he died. Oh, what hope we have, folks, for our loved ones. There will be no empty seats in heaven. Every seat has a name on it, and it will be filled. Allow me to quote an excerpt from Don Fortner's book, and I'll bring this to a close. His book is called Discovering Christ in Ruth, and Don Fortner writes, notice the two I wills in this chapter. First, we see Ruth said to Naomi concerning Boaz, I will do all that you say. She was willing to follow the instructions of the one who knew what was best for her soul. And then Boaz said to Ruth, I will do all that you say. In verse 11, what a blessing. The Son of God is willing to grant believing sinners everything we need as a matter of free grace, and always does. Ruth stayed at Boaz's feet all night, and Boaz took great care to protect her. And he provided her with all that she needed. She had his heart. We have had the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ before anything was ever made. He has done for us all that was pictured in Boaz's works of redemption for Ruth. We have obtained in him spiritually all that Ruth obtained in Boaz. So let us therefore give ourselves to him as Ruth gave herself to Boaz. And let us live altogether for the honor of him who is our kinsman redeemer. End of quote. Folks, shall anything separate us from the love of God which is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ?
Absolutely not.
Not even me. Not even me. And I try a lot. Oh, how often I try to wonder. Thank you, Lord, for your love for me, that you won't let me go too far. Is there anything that can separate us from the love of God, which is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, then he could not be called God. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done.